friends, you're welcome to Irish Radio Network, USA. I am delighted to link with Noel Kilkenny, who is the Ambassador Consul General of Ireland in New York. And Noel, this is, by any standard, probably one of the worst tragedies that that we have witnessed on either side of the Atlantic, with Mother Nature taking a turn for the worse.
There's no doubt about that, Adrian. I mean, I know that many of your listeners, in fact, most of your listeners were in the region during 9/11, but that was a man-made tragedy. This as a natural tragedy is certainly without parallel in my lifetime of anything I've ever experienced. In a strange way, when you're in the middle of it, as we have been, you sometimes don't get the sense of what's happening all around. I mean, I was in the middle of the city, and like so many of your listeners, I lost power and I lost light and I lost water. But then as the picture began to emerge and we saw what was happening out all along the peninsula, the Rockaways, the Far Rockaways, and especially Breezy Point, I mean, it's absolutely stunning what we witnessed.
Right.
And then, of course, the terrible and tragic loss of life. And I know I speak for so many of your listeners when I say that I offer my sincerest condolences to all the bereaved. So it's been a terrible week for New York. But in many ways, I suppose, I've heard from so many people about the spirit of New York after 9/11. As I say, I wasn't here then.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people have told me about it. And I'm seeing evidence of that again, where New Yorkers are coming together in this time of great tragedy and are doing everything in their power to find the missing, locate the dead,
mm-hmm.
rebuild shattered lives and homes. I think for any of us who are Irish, most of us during the week would have read in Irish Central and Neil O'Dowd, Breezy Point and the Rockaways, the most Irish of all neighborhoods, not just in New York, but in this country. And during the week, I listened to some interviews with firemen, Irish Americans, describing the sense of frustration in Breezy Point as they watched helpless as house after house burnt down. Firemen watching the homes of their fellow fire officers, because so many of the homes there were Irish American fire officers, either active or retired. So I think
it gives you an idea of the devastation in, you know, what was much referred to as Irish town, Irish parish, Irish to the core, that so many homes were actually burned and just burned to the ground, that even as of this morning, they're unsure. They know that there are 111 homes on a very small, tight Irish community, predominantly Irish, Irish American community there. But there may be more. I mean, what kind of devastation is there if there's such destruction that they're saying there could be 112, it could be 113.
Exactly.
It is unimaginable, really, to try to comprehend what that actually means.
It is. And as you say, Adrian, I think that the focus, and I can understand why, because the pictures are so compelling, the focus has been on Breezy Point. But I was talking during the week to Mike Benn, who, of course, is a great community leader out of Rockaways.
Yes.
And he was describing huge losses of property and livelihood.
And that's the entire Rockaways, actually, including Far Rockaways.
Exactly, the entire Rockaways, including Far Rockaways. So it's, as I say, the compelling pictures of the burnt-out houses are there, but it's all the places. You and I, before we began this interview, you and I were talking mm-hmm. about Long Beach, and there are a lot of Irish who live in Long Beach and the devastation in Long Beach.
Yep.
Staten Island, and I know that Assemblyman Mike Cusick, who's Assemblyman out in Staten Island, there's been huge, huge damage in Staten Island. So
most of
it,
I might add, Constable General Noel Kilkenny, most of it has not even hit the news for because the devastation, because Staten Island is actually a much larger area than the Rockaways, than Breezy, than Long Beach, that what is happening in Staten Island is that will only unfold as the days and as the weeks go by.
Exactly, exactly. No, I think that, and then of course, I'm also Consul General for the state of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as we know, the devastation there has been phenomenal. And I might just mention for the benefit of your listeners that the government at home has sent messages to Governors Cuomo, Governor Christie, Governor Malloy, and of course to our own Mayor Bloomberg, expressing the sympathy and solidarity of the Irish people at a time of such great loss of life and such great suffering.
Yes, as in fact the government, the Irish government, did and responded to 9/11.
Exactly.
So it is. Now, we would like to let, and again, when we mention areas as we have in the Rockaways, Breezy, Long Beach, and Staten Island, there are the devastation on the Jersey side is again just very, very hard to even comprehend. With many people who are listening to us in Jersey, in New Jersey today, are listening on battery operated radios, or the telephone service, the everything, and for many people, this is not just, they have their lives. They do not have life as they have built up through their growing up in Jersey.
Yep.
What is left is horrific, and it is terrible. But we should mention Connecticut. We should mention Pearl River. We should mention,
right.
You know, this is, we're basically, what we're doing is giving some examples of areas. But for somebody who has lost a home, somebody who has lost their, their livelihood, who has got no place to go, it really doesn't matter whether you're in what was the A zone or the B zone or whatever.
Exactly.
Again, the tragedy has been, very widespread and continues. Let me ask you about the Irish centres.
Yeah. Now, obviously, since the tragedy of Monday and the ongoing tragedy, we in the council have been reaching out to as many individual members of our community, but also and very especially to the three Irish centres. The New York Irish Centre in Long Island City, the Aisling, and the Emerald Isle. And all your listeners will be aware of the great work they always do,
yes,
365 days of the year. Mm-hmm. So naturally, at a time of great tragedy and great loss and great concern, we reach out in particular to them because they're so well connected into our community. And all three are staying in touch with, particularly, we always worry about our seniors if they're isolated in apartment buildings and so on. And there's great work being done by all three centres in terms of the senior communities and, in general, the disadvantaged in our community.
Right.
So my colleague Peter Ryan has been out to the Aisling and over to Long Island City. We've been talking to the Emerald Isle. We've been reaching out and just, I suppose, in an effort to show that we sympathise and we empathise.
Right. And more than that.
And more than that, exactly. Exactly.
For instance, and let's start with the New York Irish Center, which many would know is located on Jackson Avenue, Long Island City. It's actually one stop on the subway train, now that there is some, though limited, subway service at the moment. But they are actually looking for items such as clothing, blankets, bedding, cots, toiletries, diapers, jackets, baby items, canned foods, bottled water. Now, sometimes we are of the opinion, and particularly when we listen to general media, you know, that as with third world countries, and that, you know, our government is quite capable of providing all of the aforementioned. The truth of the matter is that we as a community are, you know, we have a role to play here. And if we know that there are pockets or there are people who are in need, that's where we're needed. Not to sit back and either, you know, laud or complain about, you know, the government at large. Yeah. This is a very personal involvement that we should have.
It is. And also, Adrian, I think it's because the centres are so well connected into our communities, they will be among the first to know of serious needs. And that's why they're really well plugged in, and anybody who can lend their support. And as you know, there's been some movement in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, the American Ireland Fund announced $15,000 for each of our three centres.
Right.
And yesterday at the American Irish Historical Society.
That was on Thursday night, yes.
Oh, sorry, yes. Yeah. Sorry, earlier on Thursday night, the American Irish Historical Society announced the establishment of a small committee, and I'm honoured to be on it, to look at how we can channel funds or raise and channel funds for the benefit particularly of Irish communities affected by this.
Right.
And on that night,
and again, I would like to just let our listeners know that that you as Ambassador Consul General and Don Keogh of Coca-Cola, that both of you are actually now the honorary co-chairs of a committee that I'm sure we'll be working very rapidly to try to establish A, what can be done, and again, Bob McCann to match that fund is it's great.
That's right, because Bob McCann, for your benefit of your listeners, Bob McCann last night announced that he was going to match the contributions of the American Ireland Fund, so again to our three centres. So the committee of which I'm part is targeted at looking at raising some money and finding a proper way to spend it, especially in places like, and what really I suppose the American Irish Historical Society is very much an established institution in this city and is of this city. So when they,
right.
So many of the members, their families came originally from the Rockaways and Breezy Point, and there's a sense in which maybe something should be targeted in that direction. But
right.
we won't prejudge the outcome. But what I'm trying to get across is there is some good work being done out there, and I would
right.
I would urge your listeners to find ways in which they can help in whatever it might be by getting in touch with the Irish centres and offering to play a part in their activities,
right.
whatever it is. I think
and,
you're
yes.
your point that this is not just for governments. This is for every one of us.
Right. And we will give throughout the program, and we will have on our website the actual hours of operation. Again, we've mentioned the New York Irish Center. Up in Woodlawn in the Bronx and in the Yonkers area, no surprise indeed that the Ashling Irish Center is up and running. They've been there for every occasion which requires not only long-term and continuing help, but for emergencies, they are there, and you do not have to be from Yonkers to avail of their services.
And you don't even have to be Irish.
You don't have to be Irish.
It's, I think the work they're doing is tremendous and is something of which we Irish should be proud.
They're located at 990 McLean Avenue in Yonkers. And their website is actually up and running, which is www.ashlingcenter.org. We'll give you the telephone numbers after this conversation with our Ambassador Consul General. The Emerald Isle Immigration Center, unfortunately, due to the power outages, the phones in both the Bronx and the Queens offices are temporarily down. But they have a they can be contacted, and I'll give the mobile phones friends in a few minutes, and they are being monitored by staff. Very important that we know that the Meals on Wheels program is actually up and running. It is something that is not very much heralded. It's a great program, and it's one where people can actually volunteer, do something, make those Meals on Wheels available. But it is very much up and running now. And now we do want to let you know, though, that, and that's run, of course, by Siobhan Dennehy, up in both the Bronx and the Woodside offices. The consulate. Can you fill us in about the Irish consulate and what area you cover again?
In terms of geographical area.
Geographical area number.
I cover New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Delaware. Inevitably, most of the focus in a tragedy like this is on the immediate area, which would be New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut.
Right. Okay, now, Irish nationals, there are some needs which arise during a crisis. For instance, somebody who may have to respond to an emergency, a bereavement, a death of a family member at home. There's a lot of confusion. What can and what does the Irish consulate actually provide, and what does it involve?
If you're talking about in the context of a crisis like this, or more generally?
More generally, and then how it fits into a crisis like this.
Okay, well, I just need first over a crisis like this. There are, as you'd imagine, at any given time, in addition to our settled community of Irish-born people, people like yourself and so many others, in addition to that, there's always a large number of visiting Irish people. Some are over for business, some are over for tourism or visiting relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably and tragically, sometimes there are sudden family illnesses and emergencies and tragic deaths at home. And families sometimes have to go home at very short notice. Sometimes their travel documents will be out of date, and we'd, of course, do an emergency passport for them. Sometimes there's it could be somebody out here visiting who dies out here.
Yes.
We would then liaise with the family at home and with undertakers and so on, because there's a lot of legal paperwork to be done in connection with the international transfer of human remains and so on. So in all those situations, we would be there working closely with the family, whether the family was based in Ireland or whether the family was here. Whichever way the service needed to be rendered, we would be working with them. And in the current crisis, thank God, we haven't had any big issues like that. But what we have had is Irish people who were out here during the power outages, and mm-hmm. their hotels lost power and lost heat and lost all the services. And they had to leave their hotels, and some of them had to find other accommodation or shelters. There were some mm-hmm. Irish people who were in the hotel opposite where the crane was dangling on 57th
right.
Street. And they had to leave their hotel rooms at a moment's notice and abandon all their goods. We were able to get them back into that hotel yesterday for a short period to retrieve their possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, a lot of people, because flights were cancelled and so on, we tried to work well with Aer Lingus. And Aer Lingus, of course,
right.
put on an extra flight yesterday. So, again, we don't try and do the job of Aer Lingus, but we work very closely with them, and they're very helpful in trying to accommodate people who, for one reason or another, beyond their control, weren't able to meet their original flight. So all of these are little things, but they all matter. And
right.
Also, we've had people who, in all this trauma, have misplaced their passports and they have urgent need to travel. So again, we would try and get them urgent travel documents.
I think it's important, Consul General, to point out also that despite our combined efforts, there are there is a limit to the expectations. I know there's huge concern about relatives, friends who live in areas where there is no telephone service, where there is no power, where there is no water. Unfortunately, we really can't just either vouch for or know for certain that everybody is all right. But we have no reason to believe that they are not being taken care of generally. I think we go back to the marginalized, definitely the elderly,
yes,
and those who are in great need within the communities, that is fine. But I think that it could cause a degree of panic if somebody says, you know, I can't reach my Uncle Jack down in wherever that might be.
Yeah.
For many, we should point out there is no cell phone service.
That's right.
So that if, for instance, okay, if the home phone is not working in some of these areas, I noticed firsthand from Long Beach, there is no cell service at all. So that it is, and it is going to be difficult for a few days, but for the centres in particular, and indeed for the Irish consulate, the willingness is there, the mechanism is there, so it's a good place. But we really can't imply that in this crisis situation, that a call to any of those places, and we can, guess that magic light to shine in. Doesn't work that way, but again, it's definitely good to have centres.
It certainly is.
And most definitely the consulates.
Well, we as a community, the whole community, all of your listeners, I think together we act for great community support. And you mentioned there some people who were not missing, and missing is the wrong word, but were,
yeah,
hadn't been in touch. And as the week has gone on, as exactly the point you made, they were in areas where they lost power, there was no cell coverage in their area, or their cell phone died because they didn't have any chance
to
recharge,
yeah,
it. And we've had a number of cases during the week where we were able to reach out to other members of the community and to get confirmation that neighbors were fine, and that sort of thing. But as you say, just because someone isn't in touch doesn't necessarily mean that there's anything ill happening. It could just be that they're in an area of no coverage and that. But I say the important thing is, mm-hmm, and what's great about the Irish community in a place like New York is that there's a great sense of community and involvement. And you mentioned the seniors, and so many of our seniors, mm-hmm, are so well connected up to the three Irish centres. They would be the ones you'd always be worried about being isolated, many of them being widows alone, and
right,
they'd be take the concern. But because they're so well plugged into the three Irish centres and to our broader community,
right,
it's great to see that.
It is, and also we should point out, particularly since we're talking about New Jersey and hundreds of miles of areas there. There are great organizations such as the Ancient Order of Hibernians and many of the organizations there who do a great job and get very little credit for it. But I think for those, particularly in New Jersey, reach out to the Irish organizations.
That's right.
I think there's a willingness there to help everybody as much as can be done on a practical level, so that if you're listening to us outside the area and you are in one of those areas, yes, there are numerous Irish organizations or Irish-friendly organizations that are around somewhere, and we do measure up when it's needed.
Absolutely. And just one final thing just to mention, Adrian, is that on Monday I'm traveling out to Breezy Point to link up with Martin Ingram. Martin is the chief of the fire station, the volunteer fire station in Breezy Point, and his family are very strongly Irish, Limerick and Tyrone, and he's very proud of his Irish connections. And so I'll be talking with him and, you know, hearing about what has happened to his colleagues and indeed to many of his neighbours. So it's been a very difficult week for New York, but as has happened so often in the past, New Yorkers, including and especially, I would say, Irish New Yorkers, are playing their part in the recovery and in looking after their neighbours.
And when we say New York, obviously, we are including New Jersey,
the whole
the
tri-state
and
area.
The tri-state area.
Absolutely.
In particular,
absolutely.
Because as I've said before, if you happen to be in an area that is not showing up as an emergency or as an area of devastation on television, your tragedy, your personal tragedy is obviously as devastating as anybody else's is. I want to thank you, Consul General Noel Kilkenny, and also it is good and it is refreshing to know that the government of Ireland, that the Taoiseach, and indeed the Taoiseach, that the government of Ireland is showing a great concern, and we will obviously be relying, you know, on a great number of people who are listening to this program and beyond, to know that this is a time that, as isolated as somebody who is undergoing whatever level of tragedy is going on is, we are, you know, a click at the end of the day, and we will pull together and we will get the other side of this.
Exactly. Adrian, thank you very much. I'd like to thank all your listeners.
Thank you. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. We're going to give you, in a couple of minutes, we're going to give you the telephone numbers. We're going to get the websites. And again, our guest, Noel Kilkenny, Ambassador Consul General, who is actually in New York. Well, I didn't get a chance to mention to him, but I can tell you on the side. Okay, the Irish Consulate is, the residence of the Irish Consulate is on the 52nd floor. No water, no telephone, no nothing, except a 52-story walk-up. And who says that diplomats have it easy? Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. We'll be back with all of that information in a couple of minutes.